Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got three gentlemen with me on this podcast. We're on Zoom. I've got Troy Christian, Tom Graves, and Timothy Milos. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Howdy.
All right. These are the three main contributors to the film A Perfect Vintage, which won the Audience Award for Best Documentary at Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2021. Though I got that out of my mouth clean. Wonderful documentary. It kicks ass. It actually came out day before yesterday. We're releasing this podcast, I believe, on the 24th of March, which will be 2 days after the March 22nd release of A Perfect Vintage. And you absolutely should see that film. And if you want to do a deep dive or learn a lot of interesting stuff, listen to the podcast before this one on the Discover Indie Film Podcast. But this one, we're not going to talk about the film or wine this time, as tempting as those topics are. We're going to have Troy, Tom, and Tim answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out, which means... Well, first of all, go to aperfectvintage.com to learn about the film and see where you can watch it. And now you're going to hear these gentlemen answer those four questions. So who wants to go first? Who wants to say their favorite films?
I can jump in. Sure, why not? Unless somebody else wants to go, but this is Troy. And yeah, I would say like an obvious choice would be Shawshank Redemption. And, of course, since I've just started playing baseball again in my life, and that was a passion of mine, Field of Dreams, because of where I was and the time and that magical story. And the last one for me, since I'm also a thespian, I really loved the musical film Chicago. Those would be my favorites.
Yeah, Chicago's an outstanding musical. Musicals so rarely translate well to film.
Completely. And that one actually did better than the play itself. I thought that Rob Marshall did an incredible job of making some sense out of a musical that's got this gossamer thin through line and really turned that into something pretty magical. He did an amazing job. A lot of friends of mine worked on that, and it was impressive.
Because For sure. And Shawshank, you can't go wrong with Shawshank.
Period.
One of the greatest. And Field of Dreams. It's funny, when you're talking about baseball, I thought, is he going to name The Natural? Is he going to name? But Field of Dreams is a great baseball movie.
Yeah, it was great. It was magical. And it was at the time in my life. You know, it's some of those things, because I could go on to the White Knights or the even Staying Alive, some of those dance movies, being a dancer that really struck me. But you look back at them, you go, oh. But in that moment, in the spirit of the zeitgeist of that picture where it took place in your life, you know, it could be... they were magical at the time. Let's just say that.
For sure, for sure. Field of Dreams is funny. We call it a baseball movie, but it's really a relationship movie, right? So,
for sure.
And family.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go next?
Thomas?
Yeah. So, for nostalgic reasons, Big has always been a movie I love. You know, Tom Hanks's performance is always great. And just like the kid in me that always wanted to be an adult, you know, growing up. And then... I'm a daydreamer, so Secret Life of Walter Mitty. If anyone has ever seen that one, I'm like, I don't know, I just really love the cinematography, and it's just gorgeous. And Ben Stiller really came through for that one, for me. You know, I didn't really appreciate him as an actor before that, but watching him in that was really cool. And, yeah, it's a beautiful piece. Love the music in it too. It's really, really inspiring and soul catching.
For sure. In fact, I haven't seen it, but I've actually heard people on this podcast say Secret Life of Walter Mitty is underappreciated. I'm already forgetting the term, but Ben Stiller did an amazing job directing that too, I believe.
Yeah. All around. Yeah. Beautiful piece. Yeah. Sean Penn's in it too. It's worth checking out. Absolutely. I got another one for underrated, so we'll get to that.
All right. It's your turn.
I'm up. All right. So I have a hard time with what favorite films. I have a lot of things I really love. I thought Kieslowski's Blue is probably one of my favorite films of all time. That's got the emotional depth and gorgeous, lush cinematography. I very much like Orson Welles' work. So I was thinking which one to pick was hard, and whether it was The Trial or Othello, I wasn't sure what, you know, but the camera angle, the starkness, the intensity of those things. I think The Trial was, I mean, again, in style, excessively stylized, but a fabulous the use of camera and just the tension that is built in that film. And then it's both one of the most underrated and one of my favorite films of all time is Galaxy Quest, which may be one of the few truly perfect films in every possible way. It was, I think there was a thing a Mammoth said, there are four perfect films, and that was one on the list of perfect films. I think that's one. If you're a Star Trek fan, and for all of its failings and terrible acting, and it's a running jokes in my house about, you know, the mind melding with a rug, it's still the most loving homage to Star Trek and sci-fi of anything for that too. So Galaxy Quest, and it's just brilliant.
It is actually. I've said to people who name it that it's actually the best Star Trek film ever made.
Absolutely, without any question.
Yeah, it's perfectly done.
Yeah, and it's one of the great, like, people talk about Alan Rickman's amazing roles. That is, it's just so perfectly so in that. And anyhow, yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing cast.
Sigourney Weaver, absolutely, yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Including, what's his name, is the red shirt? Brock, Alex, no. Oh, well, I'm blanking. So is that your underrated as well, or
it's my underrated as well as my, because it's often one that I think didn't get as much media attention when it first went out, and I think that it just missed an audience. It certainly has a cult following now, without question, but I think it's still relatively unknown.
And I like that you mentioned The Trial, by the way, because I think people need to do deeper dives on Orson Welles. I think everyone stops.
Absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, sort of, you have one of, you know, like Rosebud, great, fine. But, you know, the series of jokes around that. But, or even Othello, the use of dark and light, the camera angles, again, the tremendous tension and power in that. As another example, but the trial is... you are frightened and on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Citizen Kane gets all the attention, but I actually think, you know, that was his first time playing with the camera, and he got better.
Yes.
He absolutely got better at what he did. Yeah. Citizen Kane is not where people should stop.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Troy or Tom, who wants to do their underrated?
This is kind of a cheating answer, but what's underrated to me is all of the animated stuff that we have going on, as far as the imagination and freedom of filmmakers. We kind of look at Coco, or I had the pleasure of working with Johnny Depp on Rango and many of the a couple of those films, and it's what those guys create through imagination and through animation blows my mind every time I see it. Even if it's geared towards children, those, you just think of it, oh, it's another kid's flick, it's a Disney, Pixar, whatever. But I just find that those guys do such an amazing job that I just have to nod the cap that they don't get taken as seriously as filmmakers as I feel they should. Because it's like, you can make anything happen. If you can dream it, you can do it. And it's quite an art form for them to play in.
I'm with you 1,000%. You know, our kid's 14 now. And when she was younger, every year when the Oscar nominees would come out, I look at the list and I go, Moana was better than any of those.
Yeah.
You know, the Rango. Actually, we loved Rango. Rango is a brilliant film.
Yeah, that was fun. So working on that, that was Gore Verbinski as well. I'd worked with him on Pirates, the first one. And then, so I was in the room and I played the John Wayne turtle character. When he first gets to town, there's a spider guy and a John Wayne guy, and they hired a bunch of us dancers to come and play these characters. And we just acted out these scenes in this. They had just gone from using motion capture for all of that stuff to basically act out the scenes. We're going to film it, and then we're going to give it to the animators, who are just going to make the magic, and they don't need the dots all over your body. Although we did some of that as well, but Rango was fun, and just doing acting scenes with Johnny Depp.
I don't know why, but for some, maybe it's the creativity involved with animation, but those scripts are the best scripts.
Oh yeah, I mean they're on point with pop culture, with slapstick humor, and the minds that are working on those things. I'm always like, holy shit, why don't I watch more of this? Because you can have the actors do whatever, flip, twirl, eyes pop out of their head. You can actually do all of those things, and you can go to any lengths with, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent pick. All right. Tom.
I think it's funny you picked animation, I've always admired those two. And, in case you hear, my 2-year-old's in the background. So I'm now getting a little more involved with animated films than I used to be before. So I appreciate that now. But I actually picked the stock animation by Wes Anderson, Fantastic Mr. Fox, as my underrated. I just, for the same reason, like their canvas with the script is, whatever they can create. But the fact that they had the detailed in actually creating the puppets and the entire scene, like that was something that had to be crafted, not like us, where we get to just go out there and capture it, or, you put actors up or you make the scene, it's like they're building everything. And then the motion is so detailed because you have to really think ahead of time. So I think it's worth checking out. It's so much fun and a lot of laughs in it. And, a good experience.
It's a brilliant film. And, I love when he does the stop motion. I love Isle of Dogs as well.
That's a great one.
Remarkable. It's so cool. Actually, I think those are better than his live action nowadays. But it's so cool that he does these stop motion projects. They're so great. All right. Well, now we're on to the fun question: overrated. And I'll preface it. You're not saying bad film. You could actually really like this film. You just feel like its accolades might be a little out of whack or this or that. But anyone want to jump forward with an overrated film?
I'm going to be generic in my answer. And just like any time that we see the same character get redone, I hate to point to any fingers, but like the Batman, Spider-Man, it's like, I know the scripts can be great and the new performance is great, but to me, those are always overrated because it's like, we've seen that story before. We know what to expect. And I know that there's comfort in that, but what's that?
The ship sinks.
You get it. So those are always overrated in my view.
So as a child who came into, sort of third or fourth grade and seeing Star Wars for the first time and seeing how amazing that thing was and how just, groundbreaking, of course, really, as you realize it's a serialized adventure space opera that were played in the 20s and 30s, but still that great kind of re-envisioning of that thing, and then watching them do the same story 3 times in a row, and you think this whole franchise is overrated. This whole franchise, and again, for someone who desperately wants to love those things, and then to see the thing and go, well, that was disappointing. And my son and I laugh about going and like, well, the Marvel. Well, I'll say the Marvel arc was fun as an entertainment sort of arc of stories, and then coming to its conclusion last year, my son, who's now 19, looks to me and says, well, this is the thing that's defined my childhood of this grand arc of stories, and that's over. What's next? So, well, we have the next Star Wars film, and he and I both burst out laughing. Because it's just, there is nothing new to that. Whereas at least with the Marvel set, while those characters, and I was never a superhero fan, while those characters may have come from someplace else, the stories at least felt somewhat fresh, somewhat human, somewhat somewhat deep. And this is other set is like, oh, someone with parent issues again. And we're going to blow up the big space moon again.
Great. Big weapon.
Yeah, big weapon.
Yeah, no, we could obviously, I bet the four of us could talk about what's wrong with Star Wars for an hour or two, but it comes from a place of love because we saw it because that first film was perfect and we saw it as kids.
Yes.
A lot of people love that second film too. Yeah. But third on, it was just to sell the toys.
Exactly.
I don't think I watched any of them from the third on. I was like,
It's tragic because, if they just stopped at two, just like if they'd stopped at one Matrix film, it would have
been perfect.
An image of perfection. Yeah.
And I say this, I want to love these things. I desperately want to have that grand adventure, but don't insult my intelligence.
Yeah. And my, in the spirit of desperately wanting to love something, I'm going to take my overrated, which I don't even know how overrated it is, but I just have to use this film as the remake that's out, Spielberg's West Side Story, being the thespian and the musical theater person. And it's not, when I say overrated, it's being in the dance community and having all those friends and many friends who worked on it. My friend was a music supervisor. I expected a lot. Everyone loved it. The buzz was amazing. I didn't like it at all. It was the first time in my life where, going back to your point, Jeff, of trying to deliver a musical, we said Chicago was so good, and it's really hard to make that feel good, but Spielberg was so good at creating this intense, realistic drama, which is nothing that musical theater ever is, but this intense, the juxtaposition of the intense, Spielberg-driven look and feel and drama with suddenly we're going to fight, but we're going to break into a ballet. It worked in the original. It sucks in this remake. And as much as I want to love it because those are my people. That's my stuff. Did not work for me. And they took such huge liberties with regard to, I'm just dropping names. They're splatting. There's no room for my feet. They're all over the floor. But I happen to be working with Rita Moreno on this TV show called Bless This Mess. We were dancing in this scene. And I said, hey, how do you think, what are your thoughts on Spielberg's movie? She said, oh, I love it. I'm actually going to, they took out Doc and I'm going to play Doc's widow, and I'm a producer on it. And she talked this whole thing up, and then I saw it and I was like, well, you probably shouldn't have done that much with it. It was not the film, in my humble opinion, to take quite that many liberties with, and just doesn't play for me.
Yeah, I'm good with the original, the Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet. Thanks.
Hey, well, I didn't mind the original West Side, but it was it was dance fighting and it was dancing and it was a musical and it was, you suspend disbelief for that stuff. But if you're suspending disbelief, but then you deep dive into drama, it just feels like, oh my God, this, why are they singing? Help me. So
I confess I stayed away, but I think it's a valid overrated, even if you like, because it got nominated for Best Picture. And, I don't, maybe I'll watch it someday, but
it's beautiful to look at. The choreography, they did a great job of doing new choreography, but it's, some of it's very athletic and doesn't feel dancey, but it was tough for me. It was tough for me. There's some beautiful singing in it. The singers are great. Oftentimes they get those actors who either they get Natalie Wood, who didn't sing and lip synced the whole thing, or they get some actor who's kind of, I remember seeing the 25th anniversary of Les Mis, and one of the Jonas brothers was playing Marius, and I'm going, you have all Colm Wilkinson and all these beautiful singers, and then you got that guy. What's he doing? It's just like sticking out like a sore thumb. But the vocally, the movie was beautiful. Musically, it was beautiful. Cinematography was beautiful. It didn't work.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I'll suffer through it someday. All right. And last question, is a lesser known film that people should seek out?
That's an easy question.
Oops, sorry, go. Let's go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I mean, a perfect vintage. But if you've already seen that one.
At aperfectvintage.com.
Right. Yeah, but if you've already seen that one and you're still craving a documentary, Octopus Teacher, I thought was really
that was magical.
Just a fun experience. Yeah, magical. That's a good word for it. And just being a nature, person who resonates with nature, it felt really cool to see someone connecting at that level with a wild animal.
I have not eaten octopus since I saw that film.
I hear you, and it's funny. I haven't been in a situation where I've seen it on a menu since, but I used to love it. But now you're right. If I'm in a Italian restaurant again someday, now that COVID's sort of behind us, and I see an octopus, like, I love octopus, but yeah, they are too smart and too special.
Yeah, that movie was a little creepy. I mean, he was a little creepy. He got a little into it, but I know what that feels like. And, cause I'm creepy. No.
I felt bad for his family.
The thought that he did that whole thing without air tanks, you know, he dove and stayed down there that long and capturing those moments. That was a very good choice, Tom. It was a magical film for sure. Mm. I've got one. Once, have you guys ever seen that?
Yeah, the Busker.
Buskers, yeah, it's a great film. And they actually, in that film, they tried to find actors who could. I forget what his name was, Glenn something or other, and this Irish or Scottish girl or whatever her nationality was. And they kept auditioning actors to play the lead roles, and they couldn't ever find anyone because the two leads actually wrote the music for the film. And it's a beautiful love story about a flower vendor and a guitar busking singer. And they have a dream to make a record, and you should check it out once. I do have another one that I really enjoyed that I'll just throw out there. Memento. Did you guys ever see that?
Mm-hmm. Love
that. Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first time you watch it is a whole trip. And then going back and watching it again, knowing what you know, it's a whole other experience. So.
Yeah.
Pi is the same way. Not The Life of Pi, but Pi is the same way. So that's what's
Yeah.
I was going to say Le Jeté, The Jetty, about 30 minutes you can find on YouTube. My wife, who's taking a film class, introduced me to that recently, and I thought it was a remarkable bit of surrealist, the early surrealist French film.
For sure. I thought you were making Aronofsky's first feature, Pi, was going to be your lesser known, but
even farther back. Yeah, but Aronofsky's first Pi was very good. I much appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, much like we said about Star Wars, if he'd stop there, I'd be
Perfect career. Exactly. You know, one and done. But yeah, Le Jeté was weird. Yeah, it was excellent.
You know, I normally don't share too much personal stuff, but what you guys named, Troy, once I sat through once and loved it, and my wife of the time, who's now my ex-wife, walked out. And she just walked out of the theater, the Lemley in Santa Monica, and I had to find her like wandering around Third Street Promenade afterwards because I didn't want to walk out of the film and she couldn't take it. And Pi is the woman I am now with. That our first date was we saw Pi together in 1996.
Wow.
Oh no, 1998 I took her to Pi. 96 we had our first date and then it didn't work out. And then 98 we ran into each other and I took her to Pi because I was into indie film. What do you know? So you're naming the films of my love life.
Some good and some bad. Well, it was clearly a sign. You should have known at that moment.
You know, I probably should have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the production value on Once isn't anything, but it's just the heart of the piece and the music. And it just, it struck me. I really enjoyed it. They actually did a Broadway musical, which I went to see. And the girl that I'm no longer with was always late. And there we are, the last people walking in, because that always late. I'm going, girl, we cannot be late to the Broadway theater. And we got there with about 5 minutes before curtain, but they had been before the show, curtain at 8, starting at 7:30, there's this jam session on the stage, this incredible jam session, and the whole theatrical production becomes Vista, where the musicians just go sit, and they're sitting in the round, and then this whole movie, the story of the movie, unfolds right there. And sometimes they all exit, and sometimes just a couple are left on, and there's a little bit of a scene change, but it's about as simple a rendition of it and still worked perfectly, and we were late thanks to my ex. So since we're diving into exes, y'all got any horror stories there, Tim?
No, but I was going to say, if you're in the realm of musical theater, a band's visit is currently in, going around the country, and that's a spectacular show. Very not typical Broadway at all, but a beautiful show. I saw it in New York with Tony Shalhoub, and I've forgotten the woman's name, who was the original female lead. They were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's great music and one wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. So.
Shame on me. We had tickets for the band's visit and then didn't go.
Oh,
we had those Pantages season tickets and, like, I don't know, something happened and we couldn't.
Life gets in the way of things, certainly. But yeah, it was truly a spectacular show.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I think we'd gone to too many bad ones in a row, and it starts to beat you down when you sit through a two-act musical with an intermission that just sucks. Like,
oh, God, no. It's really good. It's really good. The music is good. I don't know who the performers are, but the music is really is excellent.
I'd say the worst musical that I saw was Motown. Did you see that? That was Barry Gordy actually had his – it was almost like, you got to murder your darlings there, Barry. And he apparently was very hands-on in the creating of it. And so – you had Michael Jackson and Smokey Robinson, and then it became the Berry Gordy and Diana Ross story. And it was just so much stuff that they would do, like sugar pie, honey buns. I heard it through the grate. I was like, I'm on a cruise ship right now. Because they would start like sugar pie, honey bunch, and the people would be like, oh, this is my jam. And before they got through one phrase of music, and it really felt like the whole musical felt like a bad cruise ship medley.
And at intermission, I looked at the playbill and saw that Barry Gordy was the producer. So I said to my wife, I was like, yeah, just so you know, this is propaganda. Everyone knows this was like one of the biggest assholes who ever lived, and he mistreated everyone. And in this musical, he's the sweetest, most supportive, loving man who's ever lived.
Yep.
And he abused the shit out of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Financially, emotionally, it's all the rest. Yeah.
You had the same experience I did. I was going to leave at intermission, which I've never done because I just got to stay to the end and see it. But my friend said, you got to see the kid who does Michael Jackson. He's phenomenal. And he was okay. I after seeing him, I was like, still should have left. Didn't change my life in any way seeing that little performance. But because he didn't get to perform enough, he was like, next song.
Yeah. Well, as long as we're shitting on musicals, I think the one I enjoyed least was the revival of Hello, Dolly.
Oh. Was that at the Pasadena Playhouse, or was that?
It was at Pantages, and it was just like, ugh. Oh, boy, this does not age well.
No, antiquated. I saw Carol Channing do it. A friend of mine was playing Barnaby from my dancer days in New York. And so it was fun for me to see him do it. And Carol Channing, who looked like, speaking of octopus's teacher, her hands were taught by an octopus. Cause she must've been, I think at that point she was 123. And, it still played well because it's honoring the person who created that role or whatever. But,
we're in a new world now.
New world.
You don't need the musical where, it's just all about a woman finding a husband.
Yeah.
It's a goal of her life.
Yeah. 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 That's not
they could have played with it. They could have mixed it around a little, but no.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I'll stop shitting on musicals.
Go see a band.
Well, hey, let's wrap it up. Thank you all three. Toy Tom and Tim. Troy, Tom, and Tim. The three T's. The three T's who are behind A Perfect Vintage, a documentary everyone should go see. Even if they just insulted a film or musical that you love, you should see their documentary with a good bottle of wine, a bottle of wine that you like.
And then you can insult us after that.
Absolutely.
Insult us right back.
Absolutely.
For sure. Exactly. You can say whatever you like. It's a free country. You can go on A Perfect Vintage on Instagram and say whatever the hell you want. It's free country. I'm sure. Well, it'll be wonderful that your film will be out there because you'll get a lot of great words. And then maybe you can laugh at a troll or two. Who knows?
No doubt. Looking forward to that, I'm sure.
There's nothing funnier to me when trolls go after indie films and they like complain that, like, you know, it, by the way, yours doesn't look low budget at any level, but I've seen films like get ripped on for being low budget. And it's like someone made a feature film for under $10,000 and you're not like amazed. You're going to shit on it for looking low budget. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. True story.
Exactly.
Finishing a film is a thing. Just getting one done from soup to nuts, it's a thing. So, although there are still some that
they shouldn't have been made.
They should have left an intermission. Yeah, exactly.
But it's a thing to finish a film. It is a big thing. So congratulations out there, all you listeners, if you are in the process of or have finished one, kudos.
Yeah.
Indeed. Absolutely. All right. Well, I will go on my closing spiel. That you are listening to the Discover Indie Film podcast. And I forgot this at the end of the last one, but like and subscribe, give 5 stars, be a nice person. You know, we just joked about trolls, but don't troll me, huh? Just doesn't cost you anything to be nice and click like and click 5 stars. So please do it. If you want to learn more about this podcast, there's actually a TV series on Amazon Prime that was born out of it called Discover Indie Film. So check that out. Give that 5 stars while you're at it. And you can learn about all this crap at discoverindiefilm.com. And it's at DIFWINS on social media. And A Perfect Vintage, the film that we didn't talk about. We talked about it last. We did mention it. It's, of course, the lesser-known film that you should seek out for sure. So learn about it. Learn where you can watch it by going to aperfectvintage.com. And there will be links to it from the Discover Indie Film website, too. And A Perfect Vintage won the Audience Award for Best Documentary at Filmvasion Los Angeles last June. So you can learn about that festival that we hold every June at filminvasionla.com. And it's at filminvasionla on social media. And it's sister festival. The last thing I have to plug. Every November, we host the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. You can learn about it at shermanoaksff.com. And it's at shermanoaksff on social media. I'll name one more thing, although no, this will come out in time. So what the fuck? If you like wine, if you live in California, maybe you like weed. We're having on 420, April 20th, we're having THC Cinema at the Lightfire Theater, a night of movies that are great to watch when you're high because it is legal.
I'm in. Now,
guess what? Free admission. We were just doing free admission at the White Fire Theater on 420 and some really good trippy films. We're just going with that model. We held one in January and now we're holding one in April. And what can I say? It's fun. It's fun to get together with other people and be a little stoned or maybe a lot stoned and enjoy beautiful cinema. It's either, I tend to lean towards, it either has to be super absurd and hilarious or visually stunning and trippy. So
I hear the concession stand does really well during that event.
We were thinking about looking for sponsors. Everyone's like, get a dispensary to sponsor. I'm like, should probably just get the local donut shop to sponsor.
Exactly. Girl Scout cookies. The Girl Scouts. Local Girl Scouts.
Damn. You're all businessmen. You're all thinking.
Well, you know, the higher path is right down the street on the same side of the street, and they're doing so well, they'll probably own that whole block all the way down to the White Fire by
the
time.
They keep expanding. I am familiar with the higher path, but I don't think they're going to sponsor. I talked to them. They just want to sell us a batch of joints that we can sell at the theater. And I was like, I don't think people need me to provide that stuff. If they're coming to THC Cinema movie night, they've got their preferred.
They're not hoping somebody's got a doobie with them.
Yeah. And, you know, edibles, this, that, the other. Yeah, so I didn't see it as an opportunity. They saw it as an opportunity to sell weed, and I was like, I just want you to hit your email list and let people know the night exists. But anyway.
Yeah.
THCCinema.com. At THC Cinema on social media. Should be fun. All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And I will thank everyone for listening. Thank you.